Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action of thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Scholarships are available. Visit rtip.arizona.edu.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and about 20 minutes and change to the top of the hour, and I'm Brandon Lee is joining us. I'm going to get annoyed here because I literally put a new toner in this printer. I was with Tina. We stopped at Staples. Must have been coming back from Rochester. So that was Saturday. Was that Saturday? And the thing is out of, you got to be kidding me. It's not possible. This can't be right. This thing can't, I think they do it by, it's by weight, right? The machine regulates the toner by the weight of the cartridge. It's been 5 days. I print a lot when I, leave for Derby. There's certain things I put in a binder, but I there's no way. I tell you, that's really is irksome. Brandon Lee, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm annoyed. This is really crazy. I'll tell you something funny too, and more printer tales, and we talk about my printers way too often because I've got literally a printer in every racing jurisdiction in the country is left somewhere, and the one in California, this was the best. It kept giving me the warning. Hammer, I keep it in Hammer's office at Santa Anita, and it kept giving me the warning of low toner. And so I went and bought a cartridge. We got until what? I got through the weekend, Santa Anita Derby weekend, and then I stayed Monday for the show. And sure enough, Monday night, I thought I was going to be able to bring the cartridge back and return it. And sure enough, I had like 2 pages left to print and out of toner. So I was like, unbelievable. So I put in a brand new cartridge into the one I left in Hammer's office. And so it's going to sit there until December, unused. And you know, you're out $70. It's just, you know, it's one of those modern annoyances.
I feel you. It's like one of those things where you're trying to do everything the right way, and then something's going to come back to bite you.
I've got a printer in KK's office, but I think I am going to bring this one as well, because I don't know if I want to take the printer from Kentucky to Nashville and Baltimore, and then so that means I'll have two here. So you wouldn't believe the amount of you know, brain power that has to go into this. It seems very unproductive, but it's a crucial important aspect of show preparation, is having 10,000 pieces of PPs and stats, including the stats and information that'll go into the Lone Star season that kicked off yesterday, Brandon. And you know, we much like Sam Houston, you know, trying to give you guys as much attention as possible, but it's got to be very frustrating.
It is, you know, I think the way, you know, we're a couple of years into this now, a couple of seasons into this, you know, we just look at it at the track level, like, hey, you know, the situation is the situation, and, you know, we're going to put our heads down and just get to work on doing what we can do, which is putting on the best show we can for our live fans and trying to get as many people out to the track as we can. And we still run a great tournament series. You know, so I know that that's a challenge, and, you know, we fly under the radar, and then we try to get these guys to come play in the tournaments. And so far, you know, they do show up, and, you know, I think that speaks to, you know, the format of the tournaments and all that kind of stuff, but, and what we're giving away. But, you know, we're just doing what we can do with what we have to work with.
Exactly. Things kicked off yesterday, and no real surprise. You start off with the stake, the Blue Bonnet, and here's Steve Asmussen kicking off the season with the Scarboroughs. And this is a Munnings homebred closing act, gets things going, wins as the second choice, Stewie Elliott aboard, and you're underway.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, something that was talked about at the track last night was, you know, just kind of the family affair that's going on in racing with not only Steve and his kids, you know, enjoying success as riders, but Stuart Elliott's son is actually going to have a couple of mounts Sunday at Lone Star. And, you know, that's going to be kind of fun to watch for us.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it. I had seen, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I had seen the notation that that Stewie's son was, you know, getting ready to break in, and that's tremendous.
Yeah, so this Sunday he'll have a couple of mounts, and of course we're also excited about, you know, Steve's son's going to get a mount in the Derby, it looks like, on Dwayne Lucas's horse, so that's kind of exciting for Steve and the family. You know, I saw Steve's wife last night, and, you know, Lone Star Park, one thing that I guess, you know, as the director of marketing that I am proud of and have always been proud of for Lone Star is we continue to just draw a very healthy live attendance on a regular basis. You know, it's I know it's challenging for all the racetracks out there. There's only a few that tend to kind of buck the tradition of declining attendance, but, you know, we don't get the attendance of, you know, a Saratoga or an Oaklawn or a Keeneland, but I think for what we have, we actually do a really good job of filling up the building most of the time. And last night it was a very lively crowd, and it was a lot of fun.
3,500 through the turnstiles last night, and you know, the big stake cards that'll dot the calendar. You also mentioned the contest, and you know, most often I reach out to you because, you know, you're the You're the Brian Skirka of west of the Mississippi, because you're also famous for running a great contest, and a lot of people make the Lone Star dates one of their stops for live contest play.
Hey, I appreciate that. And shout out to Brian. He and I are good friends. But yeah, we actually have our first big weekend series this weekend. So, you know, tonight at the track, we are having a $300 level feeder contest into tomorrow's NHC tournament. And tomorrow's NHC tournament's $1,000 buy-in. And I'm expecting a good turnout for it. So the pre-registrations have been strong. And so I'm expecting, you know, a good turnout tomorrow. And then Sunday, we're actually hosting our first feeder into our big Memorial Day weekend event. So we got a whole weekend's worth of tournaments going on. And then, of course, we're going to be pointing towards Memorial Day when, you know, it's Lone Star Million Day. We do over $1 million worth of stakes, including the Steve Sexton Mile and the Texas Derby. And we'll have a big tournament that day where we have the 1-in-10 ratio, the only one in the country where you can get an NHC seat. So anybody out there planning their Memorial Day weekend trips, don't overlook Lone Star.
Give everybody the details. What, there's four, I know four seats, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, so this Saturday is four guaranteed seats with a 1-in-20 ratio. We'll kick in a fifth seat at 80 and then a sixth seat at 100. And based on pre-registries, I definitely think we'll be close to or over 100 entries. So I would expect to give away at least five, if not six seats, maybe even seven seats. So we'll keep adding NHC seats depending on the number of entries that we get. It's $1,000 buy-in, and the way we do it, it's the wagering menu is win, place, show, and exactas only. It's all on Lone Star Races, and you have to play your initial bankroll during the first seven races, and then after that, whatever you have, you got to play 50% or more over the last three, and that's our format for all of the contests. And over Memorial Day weekend, for that 1-in-10 ratio, we bump up the buy-in to 2,500, and you know, but it's 1-in-10 ratio to get an NHC seat, which is the best you'll see anywhere.
Well, things are, you know, we're already a month removed from the NHC, and there's steady play and steady awarding of seats, whether it's live or whether it's online, and horse players. Today, and in fact, I think yesterday too, there was a seat or two yesterday. Treasure Island, the former site of NHC's, Saturday and Sunday, there's on track wager to win as well. They've gotten into a regular rotation of contest play. Next week, Santa Anita has got two seats in the $500 challenge. We mentioned Brian Skirka. Monmouth has got two seats next Saturday as well. NTRA.com, drop the schedule and plan ahead, whether it's on-site or you know, whether you're playing at horse tourneys or at horse players. How about a couple of other big weekends that people can plan if they've never been to Lone Star? It regularly cited, Brandon, as a favorite Breeders' Cup over the years. A lot of people will say their favorite Breeders' Cup was the Lone Star Cup, and you know, the facility and everything that went with it, and the famous concert on Friday night. There was a lot of things that made that Lone Star showcase really a special Breeders' Cup. So for those who've never been, what weekends should they look at?
Well, we have a pretty lively promotional schedule, you know, around the racing. You know, we have a couple of dollar days. We have a couple of, on Memorial Day, for example, we're giving away a car. We do a lot of family fun type of events. We even have a day where people can bring their dog out to the racetrack. So, you know, lots of little things for pretty much anybody's taste. And, you know, I would say too, you know, Lone Star only being about 27 years old, it's one of the newer racetracks still. in a sport that's got a lot of tradition and older tracks. And we've done a really great job of, you know, modernizing the facility when it needs it and keeping it up to date. And it really is a palatial, you know, palace of a racetrack. You know, it's just a, you know, and not only that, I think when it was built, you know, it was built for not 100,000 people, you know, so like, yeah, it feels full, you know, as a smaller track, which I think also helps. And, you know, it's just a nice place to come visit. You know, it's just a very beautiful facility.
Well, you've got the Texas Bred Showcase days, and now through July, Lone Star.
Yeah, you know, yep. And our last tournament series during the meet is going to be the last weekend of June, June 29th.
Okay.
With that day, we have four turf stakes, and we call it we call it the Summer Turf Festival. Sorry, my mind went blank for a second. But yeah, the Summer Turf Festival, we've got four turf stakes, and we build a tournament around that day as well. And it's a very similar format to the one we're doing tomorrow. So, you know, we've got three tournament weekends during the meet between now and July 14th. And so come check us out.
Lone Star Park and LoneStarPark.com, the tournament information. Jazzman Brandon is your point man if you want to come for any of the contest dates. And Brandon, anything you need, let me know.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Brandon Lee, everybody, who does a tremendous job. We're going to swing around and head not far away, go up to Arkansas, catch up with the Duke. We got to get Dookie in here. And I treasure these conversations because he's so much fun. And you watch him, of course, on America's Day at the races. And, you know, the season is winding down, the long winter and into the spring. And Paula Duca, you've made the Oaklawn season fun.
Oh, I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. And you've had some tied up Friday mornings, so I haven't been able to talk to you much the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. But here's Oaklawn Handicap tomorrow, and as well as the two, you know, more newer additions of stakes. But, you know, give us a feel for the last couple of weeks of the meet.
Well, yeah, obviously tomorrow, yeah, the value of the vapors is the stakes race tomorrow, and then the bathhouse row, and obviously the Oaklawn Handicap. But still, we have a couple, actually, a good card today, and then we are adding, the first time they've done it, because they are going to run the day after the Kentucky Derby, so you will have Sunday racing on May 5th, you know, because they lost some of those days earlier
right, in
the meet with the freeze out. So I would think that last day card would be a nice card too, an 11 race card. And the Oaklawn always meet always finishes with that mild 3/4 long race. But fun weekend, obviously, last weekend. And then this weekend's good. I mean, listen, the Oaklawn Handicap drew a nice little field.
I 100% agree. We did yesterday with Jeff Franklin. We did the one of the races that we did for the win using Thorograph segment was the Oaklawn Handicap. And you've got a number of accomplished horses or up and comer types. I mean, here's Brad Cox with a horse like Highland Falls, you know, who, you know, seems to be, you know, going places. You've got plenty of established types, including Octane and Red Route One, and of course Skippy Longstocking, Safi Joseph. You know, not only did Safi send the 3-1 favorite in Skippy, but that county final. And I said yesterday, you know, here's a horse maybe just, you know, because they had to book the FedEx flight, they threw him in the stall too. But county final at a price, I thought, had a little bit of a look. Instant Coffee drew poorly for Al Gold and Jose D'Angelo, but Baffert with Reincarnate. I mean, there's a lot of considerations. How are you shaping this thing up?
Well, I do think when you look at the numbers, you know, Steve, I'm a Thorograph. That Skippy Longstocking is going to be very tough. Now, getting the outside draw with Safi, the horse has been running very, very good numbers. And the other part about this is he's run the distance to ground. Tomorrow, Now, it did rain a little bit yesterday, like, and tonight we are supposed to get rain, 60% chance of rain tomorrow throughout the day. So we could get a, you know, muddy or good or sloppy racetrack, depending how much rain does come down. I do think we'll get some moisture. So, and he has a negative number in the slop going a mile 3/16 or a mile and eighth right on the button. So I think he's the barometer in the race, definitely. But there's a lot of different places you can go. I will say this. There's like four or five horses that are better than Reincarnate, at least on sheets or on my handicapping tools that I look at it. And I think that Bob Baffert will just get the money because he's Bob Baffert. And we see what he did with Adair Manor. We've seen what he did with Moose and the horse that he shipped in so far to Oakland. And I think that horse will get kind of some dead money. He can win the race, but I'm not going to have my money on Reincarnate.
I mentioned that yesterday when we went through the figs. I mean, he's got a couple of races that make him competitive, but he's got to run a career best, essentially, to win. You got to make a determination about Red Route One, who also is coming off a career best. I was standing there kind of slack-jawed by that performance in the New Orleans Classic. I mean, I happen to be a fan of Red Route One, but it caught me flat-footed and stopped my day completely.
It's kind of with me, Steve, because, like, I thought that I had given up on that horse, and his last two outings have been phenomenal. I mean, like, he's—I don't know if he's coming into his own, and you get to the point where he needs a setup. He needs to come from way out of it. I think both, you know, him and Magic Cap. I think he's Magic Cap. It's like I've seen the same movie every time. He just runs the same number, the same race every time.
It's true.
Is that going to be good enough to win it? Where Red Route One, I think, has kind of gotten a little bit better. He obviously is a deep, deep closer, but he's starting to become one of those horses that doesn't matter what the pace is, he's still going to keep on coming, and he's in peak form. So I can understand where people are going, but it's still hard to take a horse that comes from so far out of it.
I joked with Steve Asmussen a couple of months ago that if there was a Pimlico special advance wager that I was interested in that, but then here he jumps up and cashes in the New Orleans Classic. Rosario has ridden him more than anybody else has, and has had some nice success with him. Christian Torres actually won that West Virginia Derby at Mountaineer last year. The good news is here's another 4-year old contributing to the landscape of the handicap division, an up-and-comer and an underexposed potential handicap type is this Godolphin player, the Curlin out of Round Pond, Highland Falls. And that was an ambitious maneuver to send him to the big cap, and he did not disgrace himself. And actually, he took money, went off at 7-2 off of the pair of allowance wins that had come at Churchill and at Fairgrounds. And now he comes back here, first time at Oaklawn. But Highland Falls looks like an emerging horse.
I'm with you. I mean, the horse is, he'd be my other choice. I'm not giving you much here with Skippy Longstock. You know me, I like to play my long shot, but Highland Falls is the lightly raced dynamite horse, right? Because, you know, did not disgrace himself, but had run two good, really good races, great numbers on whatever sheets you want to use, Equibase, Byers, Rags, Thoroughs, whatever. Right there with most of them. A lot of these horses, when you get to this part, like in the Oakland handicap, Steve, I try to handicap it a little way. You mentioned 4-year-old. I think that is key. Where a lot of these horses, like I said, Magic Cap, like some of these horses that are in this race, we've seen what they've got. Does Highland Falls at his age, can he move forward 100%? He's the one horse that I think out of that race can keep on moving forward and forward and forward. Now, all these other horses, are they getting better at an older age? Yeah, a little bit, but there's some thing, just like every other athlete, there's father time, and they sort of are at where they're at. So you're right. It's Brad Cox, number one, so he's going to get that. The horse that he shipped in from Fairgrounds that have trained over there have been live. I do think he gets the honey hole, draws a great position, and he's the other horse in here. It's just, does he have enough seasoning? There's a lot of grizzled veterans in this race. Does he have enough seasoning to beat this field?
Well, and on the four-year-old front, for those that haven't looked at this yet in earnest, Highland Falls is four, Magic Tap is four, Red Route One, Reincarnate, and Instant Coffee. So, you know, for all the hand-wringing and teeth-gnashing over the state of, I said this earlier, over the state of the handicap division, here's, you know, four very nice, credible, solid four-year-olds, and it's still only May, or, you know, late April, mid-April. I mean,
You know what, Steve? How many times, you've been doing this for so long, and you're so brilliant at what you do, by the way. How many times do we see this all the time? You know, like a Vino Rosso just didn't grow up at the right time. Then it came to the Belmont time and ripped all their heads off. You know what I mean? It's just like, at the end of the day, you know, the horse that wins the Kentucky Derby, but is he actually the best horse? I mean, if you go back and you look at it, you look at these horses now going towards what we've had now. Okay. So I'm not, you go back and you see Mage. Okay. Is he going to be the best crop out of that group? Probably not. If you go back and you look at Rich Strike, was he the best group, best horse out of that crop?
No.
At the
end of the
No. So you can go on and on and on. Like, at the end of the day, and, you know, right or wrong, with Mr. Baffert not participating in the first Saturday in May, everybody better start getting their derbies. That's just the bottom line. Because what ends up happening is, and people have said this but don't want to admit it, since the point system happened, everybody's like, well, Bob Baffert won all this, and this is not Justify, American Pharoah. They took some from Justify. He shouldn't have been undefeated. There's no way there's two Triple Crown winners. Let me sink this in for everybody out there. I'm not saying Bob Baffert's an angel at all. And what they ruled against him yesterday is 100% right. And the fact that he won't apologize is an absolute joke. That being said, since they put in the point system, we don't have any more training birds. We don't have any of these crack sprinters getting into the Derby, causing a 108, 109, 110, 6 furlong pace.
Yeah, that's true.
So ever since that didn't happen, what happened, Steve? It happened to be Bob Baffert was the speed of the Derby every year. Authentic. Medina Spirit. You want me to keep going on? It's just, when you put, and then like I see a Darren Manor, they're going, oh, he went 23-46. I'm like, Bob Baffert's horses work 23-46
correct.
In the morning.
That's correct.
So it's a different type of speed. So that being said, does that leave fierceness the one time? I mean, I know Pletcher's won his Derby, but if somebody doesn't go after fierceness, we're starting to look at paceless races that turned into very, very fast paces because nobody knows who's going to go to the front end in the Derby anymore.
Well, part of it, too, you end up at least with an honest pace generally because there's going to be horses that'll end up drawing in places where their hands are forced and they have to at least get position. You know, horses that, you know, that have limited resources in terms of, you know, their how much tractability or tactical speed they have. So, you know, there's a horse, you know, that draws 16, 17, 18, 19. They got to be used a little bit early and that helps force the pace. I mean, even when there's no, obvious sets of speed that end up in a Derby lately, you're still pretty well guaranteed that, you know, you're going to get a couple of extra horses that have to be part of that run to the first turn, and that prompts things along. But your point's well made about Derby winner not necessarily being the 3-year-old champion, not being the best in the crop, and there's some 3-year-olds that are just gearing up. Angel of Empire is just getting going. It hasn't hasn't really hasn't had an assignment yet. So it's kind of nice that we've got these late starters, or a horse like Highland Falls, who didn't even, you know, didn't even make his maiden debut until Ellis of August last year at Ellis Park. So,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Interesting groups. Let's slip in a couple of thoughts too. Paul LaDuca with us last three weekends of action at Oaklawn. And what are you doing in the bathhouse in the Valley of the Vapors?
Well, the bathhouse, I kind of like the bathroom. I like kind of like I like Maxis Magic. You know, I know this horse from Norm McKnight. He's been game. He went fast. He should get he'll get the lead. He's going to go to the front end. The mile and eighth is a concern. It's always a concern when your horse has never gone that distance. But, you know, he got run down by Seize the Gray. I think it's a nice sort. I mean, he just missed getting in the Derby. You know, he ran really, really well to run down Maxis Magic. They kind of ran away from the group. He went up to the Jeff Ruby. He was trying to get qualifying points, and he ran a good third. Let's be honest, Mr. Lucas's strength is not synthetic. So I do think Seize the Gray is a horse that went too quick into the Lexington to try to, you know, get some more points, or the Breeders' Security, excuse me. But I think down the road he'll be okay. Now, getting back to Maximus Magic, Norm McKnight has sent some horses down from Woodbine, and they succeeded. And this one is very game, was game last time out to beat the favorite. I think he gets to the front end again. And I think a lot of people will dismiss him going a mile and an eighth, thinking, okay, he can't get the extra distance. And I think he's going to be very tough in there. There's a couple other horses, but the Asperson horses are going to be tough too as well. But I think he can control on the front end.
How about the Vapors?
The Vapors was tough, Steve. Man, I landed on Neon Peach, and I'm only reason. No, excuse me. I was between Neon Peach and Candy Isle. Here's the other part: is I've loved the Robertino Dio horse that got transferred. Now, Extreme Smoke Show, is that the name of that horse? Is it Smoke Show in there?
I
do like.
Yeah. To Mac Robertson.
Yeah. So now that horse got transferred. There's another horse that got transferred in there from Robertino Diodoro. And, like, that horse is talented. And I'm a little worried that the Robertino Diodoro, obviously, with the suspension, his horses haven't been firing since then. Like, a couple have, a couple haven't. So I'm going to take a little bit of a shot of Candy Isle, hoping that it rains a little bit. And I've been waiting for this horse a little bit. And I do think that horse has got a big shot. Now, I mean, the McLean Robertson horse, maybe Extreme Diva. There's Extreme Smoke Show, Extreme Diva. I get them all mistaken. But McLean Robertson has a horse in there that he's never run a mile. I asked him after the race. I've always liked this. She's a little gray filly. I've always liked her. And I said, Mac, well, you know, what is she? He goes, gosh, she's in the middle horse. I said, what do you mean? He goes, there's no 7 furlongs here. I can't get her 7 furlongs anywhere else because he's usually in Minnesota or in here. He goes, I'm just going to have to send her a mile. He says he's a grinder anyway. She's a grinder anyway. And I think she's going to be 15-1. She could be the outside horse for me, but I'll probably land on Candy Isle with the Mac Robertson horse in second. And I actually love a horse today in race number 8 as well.
Well, before you tell us that horse, I'll just mention, but I'm looking at the line. The price is no good. I was going to bring up Marisol Sugar, but she's 7.
Yeah,
7-2. I'm not as excited about her at 7-2. To be honest,
what do you think she goes off at, Steve? I mean, she lost to Impel, right? And then Impel kind of throws in a clunker, right? Not a clunker, but then she comes back,
okay.
Marisol Sugar, gets the lead. My worry is what, 3 races in a month for Marisol Sugar?
I that doesn't bother me as much as the price. She seems poised to take a step forward, but there's others that, you know, at better. I mean, Blue Squall, Randy Morse. She's 10-1.
The other horse in there, Todd Fincher's horse.
Yeah, Candy Eye.
They're running out of their mind. I mean, you know, if you go back and you look, his horse ran giant. I mean, after, you know, chasing around at Derry Manor, and that horse came in from Sunland. It's just like his horses ship in and they run well. So I wouldn't count out the Fincher horse. Maybe
no,
hit the
she's
board.
15-1, and she was a horse we liked last year. You know, when she was piling up the wins. It's a good race. The Valley of the Vapors goes as the 10th. It's a 12-race card tomorrow and ends with one of those Arkansas bred races. Who did you like today before I let you go?
Okay, race number 8, I like the 9, Air Combat. And I'll tell you why. It's crazy that you think about this, but it just shows you how great of a horseman Steve Asmussen is. Guys have actually moved horses up off Steve Aston or kept them the same. Like, you claim off Robertino Diodoro, you claim off Brad Cox, you claim off some of these guys, you know you're rolling the dice. But for some reason, Steve has been dropping these horses. They've been winning. Guys have been claiming them. They've been coming back to win. Norm McKnight claims Air Combat. And what I love the most about it, Keith Asmussen stays on board for Norm. So for that to be claiming the horse from Keith, from Steve, and then his son staying on the horse for Norm just gives me enough just enough fuel to bet the horse right back. I think the horse was solid last time on the drop, ran a giant number. And it seems like that the bounce factor here hasn't been as much as it is other places. I will be careful. Coming out of Oaklawn, betting these horses out of Oaklawn because the way the weather has been all meet, Steve, I'd be careful. They've struggled a little bit at Keeneland, and I think they're going to struggle a little bit because this racetrack can be hard, can sometimes take a little while for horses to get back into, you know, 100% physical health. But I think Keith Asmussen staying on a horse for Norm McKnight that just got claimed off his father is pretty significant.
Air Combat, the 9 in the 8th race, 5-2 morning line. A couple of, I know that horse of John Ortiz's, Happy Mac, I'm familiar with. It's a nice little group. It's a 16 starter.
I know everybody's focusing on Keeneland and all that stuff, but today and tomorrow are good little cards. You know, like we said, when we lost all those dates, Oaklawn started stacking the cards. So they're good betting cards.
Well, just a few more remain. One extra day, but two more weekends plus another day. So 7 cards after this weekend. So make it a total of 10 between now and the day after Derby. Paul LaDuca, everybody. Paul, I appreciate it, and we'll see you. We'll see you soon enough. We'll see you back in New York.
Oh, sounds good. And the best part about it is, Steve, both New York baseball teams are over 500. You can't do better than that. We'll take that.
Especially after the way the Metsies started.
Yeah, started, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I love it. I gotta start getting some baseball from with you.
I will tell you this. I've said this from the beginning, and I'll leave you alone from there. The Baltimore Orioles are the real deal. I do think Jackson Holliday is overmatched. As of right now, and he's gotten a little bit too much pump. I'm good friends with his brother Matt, played against him, or his father,
yeah.
Matt. Shows you how old I'm getting.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think he needs another year. There's no secret why they sent him down, but I'll tell you right now, Gunnar Henderson is an MVP candidate. Adley Rutschman, they are absolutely loaded, and I think the pickup of Corbin Burns, and if they get one more pickup at the deadline, I just think that Mr. Angelos from heaven is going to be rooting for the Orioles in the World Series.
How about that? I appreciate it. Paul LaDuca, everybody. Duke, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Steve. I always appreciate it. You do a great job.
Thank you. Paul LaDuca, how much fun. Always great. He's one of the great characters out there. Let's see if Nick is Nick what do we got? We got 45 minutes, just a touch underneath. I have not heard back from Nick. So let me get Ham. We'll go Hammer. Mike Joyce is going to slip in. We'll do a push for the PDJF Telethon, which is on Sunday. So, you know, if you hit a lick or two the next few days, put aside a little bit of a tith. Tith happened to have been a word this week on Wordle. For those of you that play Wordle, I said to Teen, I said, oh, look, I just nailed Wordle. And she says, tith? Nobody uses that word. I said, that's not true. I said, the Mormons, right? Not the Mormons. You got a tith. Tith is a percentage that goes back to you know, to whatever entity, you know, gets, you know, their share, wets their beak, so to speak. Let me grab Hammer. So what do we got? We got Hammer, Joyce, Tamaro, Aang. All right, got it. Wow. That's a lot of broadcast. probably should have slipped in Mike Joyce here. I sure hope Nick comes available. He was involved in interviews that he was conducting. Hammer, good morning. Hammer. There we go. There you go.
Steve?
Yeah, where are you? Where are you coming from? Where are you calling from? Where am I? I can't believe that. I don't know if he couldn't hear me or what. I don't know what to tell you. I know he went somewhere. Could you not hear me or what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I'm trying to figure out where you're coming from.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Yeah.
That's weird. You're not coming through here. Okay, I got you now.
There you go.
I got you now.
I was trying to figure out. I was trying to rack my brain as to where you were traveling from.
No, I'm here. I'm traveling, man. No, I just had to do a little rambling, man, for Dickie Betts, you know, who I don't know if you heard, he passed away a couple days ago.
No, I did not see that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Meyer. Gina called me out somewhere, and I did the same thing. So, yeah, Dickie Betts, he was 80, which, wow, he was 80, and of course, you know, original band member, original founding member of the Allman Brothers Band with Dwayne Allman. And,
wow.
Just do you know anybody who doesn't like the Allman Brothers? You never, right? I mean, they pretty much crossed a lot of genres from, you know, rock and roll to Southern rock. They actually started Southern rock and just a huge favorite of a lot of people's. I know one of my top, and you know, that song always comes to mind, Ramblin' Man. And just for go off for a second, but, you know, Dickie Betts wrote Ramblin' Man and was actually going to give it to another singer. And you'll never believe who he was going to give it to. Johnny Cash. Turns out they were cutting an album. I forget the name of the album it was on. They were cutting an album. They needed another song. And the producer goes, "Whoa, you're going to give that song away? Let's rock." And then so they ended up obviously going on their album. It's probably one of their biggest and, you know, one of the best songs of all time anywhere. But anyway, I was lucky enough to see them many times. I was lucky enough to be there back east in the 90s when they made their Beacon Theater runs, and they would play four or five, six nights in a row at the Beacon for years at a time. But I can honestly say, when someone asks you, what is the loudest concert you've ever been to? I don't even have to think. It was an Allman Brothers show at SPAC up in Saratoga. Mike Dempsey and I somehow ended up with second row seats right in front of the speakers on the left. And I'm telling you what, it was loud, and you know what? Turn it up. It was just fantastic. I just remember I go to a lot of shows and I can take a lot. I just remember walking away from there with my ears ringing, but it was a great ring in the ear. But anyway, Dicky Betts. You know, one more thing I wanted to say about him, because we were talking about him not too long ago. He was the one who started the dual guitars. In other words, not a, like a lead guitar and a rhythm guitar, whatever. He's the one who started like the dueling guitars on stage with him and Dwayne Allman, and then, you know, kind of picked up where you didn't have to have necessarily lead guitar. You could just have two guitarists and have them kind of go toe to toe. So he started that. And then, of course, you know, Derek Trucks and Warren Ames and whatever. But anyway, go play an Allman Brothers song. It's funny. I was looking up the Allman Brothers Museum, which I've never been to. It's in Macon, Georgia. And unfortunately, it's 370 miles from Franklin, Kentucky. I was thinking about making a run there during the Kentucky Downs meet. But it's a long run. But who knows? You never know. Anyway, back on track. I had to laugh earlier when you had Callie on. And you mentioned the vet. And you know, not being a race tracker when I first started. And I was at, I remember being at Golden Gate Fields and my back was killing me. And somebody was, well, go see Dr. So-and-so. I go, well, where's that? Well, he's right over there. There's this truck. I go, what are you talking about? Yeah, go see. He's a vet. And I go, what? I'm not taking any horse pills. It's like, no, please just go down there and end up giving me something, whatever it was. It was pretty funny, but 100%. Anybody on the racetrack that's been sick or had an ailment that just needs a quick something, go see a vet and, you know, they'll take care of you. I've never actually heard it, you know, talk about it like that. But, you know, of course, she went right along with it. Of course, anybody that's ever been around, right?
Yep.
It's just the doctors all over the place. Go see one.
Yeah, exactly. No need to go to some clinic off the track, or you know, or make an appointment with your primary physician.
No, exactly. Don't worry about insurance. But I've seen him sew people up, you know, for little cuts and, you know, stuff here and there. No big deal. Come on over. You know, just. Yeah. But it's funny. It's it really is true when you say the racetrack is just a little microcosm of a little city, and you've got all the needs you need, everything you want. But coming back to Santa Anita after a well earned 9-10 day break, whatever it happens. It's amazing when you just take 3 or 4 days off for the weekend how that turns into a decent break. And more tracks that run year round need to do that. It's just a refresher. And in this case it was a good break because, hope, knock on wood, the rains are over, and a very disruptive meet, to say the least, in the first half of the meet there, December 26th up until mid-April, and you know, brought upon by the new rules that came about when it rains. You know, there's some rules out that says you can't train when it rains, and if you do something to the racetrack, then you can't run either. So I think the last 4, 5, 6 days in there at some point, and the advantage of being in California seemed to be for shipping and for some of these 3-year-old races, where you could train all the time. And training got interrupted, and the completion of the synthetic track was delayed because it rained. It's kind of an odd conundrum there, but anyway, back to normal, sunny, fast and firm. I was out there yesterday just checking. I mean, the turf course is like a hillside in Ireland. It's where it needs to be, and just in keeping with the past, the turf will be pounded. There'll be a lot of turf racing, which is great. That's what people want. If the fields are bigger, and that's what it is. So a couple months run through the week after the Belmont. I think it's the 16th through June 16th. So good. I think it's 8-9 weeks coming out. So just a quick refresher of the jockey standings. There'll be a little bit of a change from this meet that they're calling the Hollywood meet from last meet. Everything will start over. You'll see a bunch of zeros on the stats, which is a good thing. The leading jockey, Juan Hernandez, who of course will be here, not this weekend, but he not Saturday anyway. He was the leading rider. He'll be back. Flavian Pratt, DeTore, and Kimura will not be here full time. as they were in the early part of the meet. They're spreading out, but Freysou and Hector Berrios, Rispoli, Kyle Frey, Thiago Pereira, Edwin Maldonado, and all the others will be here in that order is how they finished last time. The trainer standings, Doug O'Neill won the first half of the meet with 29. Mark Glatt close behind. Baffert, D'Amato, Steve Knapp, Sadler, Mullins. So those names will pretty much remain the same. On the owner side, congratulations to our friends at Hieronis Racing for taking down another owner title. Appreciate, you know what? We probably don't say it enough, but we appreciate and thanks to all the owners who run horses everywhere who keep this thing going. So I always like to mention them. And Hieronis was on top of the Redham, Paul Redham, and his racing outfit was second. Nick Alexander, Les Blake, Legacy Ranch, Mike Lynn Peterson, finishing out the owner standing. So, you know, won't be a whole lot of changes probably in those categories, but that's who you're looking for when you're checking out Santa Anita. One thing that'll come back too, Steve, is the Coast to Coast, which was, well, stopped last week because we didn't have it. And then the week before, there was a rain out. So the Coast to Coast will come back this Saturday. And just a reminder, that's a $1 pick five between Gulfstream Park and Santa Anita with a 15% takeout. And this week, it's three races from Gulfstream, the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and then two races from Santa Anita, the 4th and the 6th. So it's a pick five. It rolls along pretty quickly. I look this week, they have it ending in about an hour and 10, 15
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, hour so, and 10, yeah.
Right? I just was looking. I go, that's pretty good. So it rolls out. It's the payoffs have been pretty darn good, so take a look at that. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a good fresh start to get back to. Lots of turf racing. And the $1 pick six will continue for now. That's going to continue. They got, of course, that $3 turf pick three. We jumped on that bandwagon. And I think I read what Brad Free had written, that the average payoff has been about $300. So, you know, that's a bet to take a look at because the fields are usually bigger and the payouts are nice. And you know, it's like I said, the weather's going to be good, and I don't know if hopefully you'll make it back here again for one, you know, final stand before it's over, but you never know with your schedule. You're crazy. Speaking of that, I'm headed to Lexington tomorrow, so I will be in the same state as you, but down the road a little bit. I'm going to make a rare appearance at Keeneland. I've never been to the Keeneland meet in April before.
That's what you said.
For racing.
Yeah.
For racing. You know, always working. You know, I go for, you know, always working. So I'll be there Sunday, which will be, you know, kind of a nice little respite, and then head down to Kentucky Downs for some stuff down there on Monday, and then back for some industry meetings on Tuesday in Lexington again. So I'm just starting to get warmed up for the travel for here on out. And I know your bags are packed, right?
Yeah, we got. I may be over both the days in Lexington. Coming over late Saturday afternoon, but then I think we're gonna go over to Brookdale. I've got the combatant, this combatant yearling that's there, and I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in ages, so we're going to go hook up with the Seitzes and our friend Marty Shapiro, and
great.
You know, see where we stand with him. Looking forward to it.
That's great. You know, it's this time of year. I'm anxious to go. I mean, I spend I make four or five trips now to Lexington for various reasons, but never this early. So I'm you know, looking forward to it. I was listening to Scully about the weather. Hey. It's going to be in the 40s and 50s. I don't care. As long as it's not raining, I'm in, you know. And if it rains, oh, well, we'll deal with that,
yeah.
too.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, nothing you can do about that. So it's all good. You know, the feature here, we mentioned the two races that the Coast to Coast is going to be in. Actually, it's a split version of the old Calbred Maidens going three quarters on the turf. And give you a couple of looks at it. I looked at the two horse Western Grit from the Ryan Hansen, got a little speed. draws well on the inside. I don't know what the price is. And then Peter Miller, who has a horse that's been performing a little longer on the turf, motivating force. You know, he's one of those guys that if it doesn't work, let's try something else. So trying sprinting again, motivating force with Frey Sue on there. I'm not sure what the prices are, but
they're both 4-1.
Those,